ever those kind of dogs.
All right, let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and get started. It is very good to have you guys here tonight. We don't have everyone back yet, but folks are slowly drifting back in, and we're continuing to kind of get a feel for who's in, who's out, who feels good about coming back, who doesn't yet, and we have people that are very much all over the planet still. I mean, and it's understandable. If you watch the news, that seems to be the way the world's working right now. And so our series, let me catch you guys up, because this is the first time we've actually been together. Mark was even asking for clarification tonight, because we started Zooming to kind of connect with you during midweek, and we started a series called The Adventure Really Begins, or The Real Adventure Begins. I'll get it right in a minute. Where we kind of set the tone for saying, if you really get serious about following Jesus, there's going to be a moment where you're going to have to risk a little bit, which means there's a fear of failure you got to deal with, but also at the same time, it does require the choice. It's always a choice, right? We follow. And we set it up that way. And then we've moved into this conversation about needing wisdom. And it's all well and good to talk about being a follower, making a dent, and stuff like that. But if you don't have the wisdom to do it and do it well, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to misfire. And so that's why I decided we would kind of move back into the Proverbs. And so we're unpacking some big ideas as we go. And we're going to continue this all the way through till the break. So we're here for the next 3 weeks together. And then we will take a family week break, like we haven't had enough breaks. But we will take that. And we originally designed that to coincide with the start of school. We were really smart. We were looking at the calendar. We figured out how to make it work. And, of course, now that they backed everything off, we are still going to be off when it's all said and done, but we'll get it right. We'll figure it out. For us, it looks like that Sunrise Bible Study probably won't come back until we get school started, and that was our original goal. We flip-flopped after the pandemic kind of really got going full bore, and we started thinking about reopening. We said, well, let's get Sunday morning set back up, and we'll go from there. And then as we opened up on Sunday morning and started doing the two services and realized that, that hour in the middle is really tight, and started thinking about adding one more thing to the mix and trying to figure out how to get people in and out of the building at the same time and stuff like that, we immediately, the first week, but by the second week, we were convinced how difficult that was going to be. And so as we began praying about it, it dawned on us that, people are getting the opportunity to connect on Sunday morning. There is value in that midweek connection as well. And so we kind of then shifted and put our emphasis on getting midweek back online. Richard has knocked it out of the park with the rally week that our kids had. And when you see him, tell him good job on that. Because, again, we were trying to put together student ministry events when student ministry events just weren't happening. People were just shutting things down, and we were kind of trying to plow through it and talk to parents and kind of keep them on the count if we could, trying to make people as comfortable as we could. So, I think he put together there was no way to redeem camp. We couldn't say that. But we even snuck a road trip in there, which is really cool, and figured out a way to make that work too. And the kids that went had a blast, and he had a good group, and, And so I'm very grateful for his willingness, his leader's willingness, to kind of step up and do that, because that was a big ask. And so this week the kids are screaming outside, and it does sound great to hear them again. And we're going to be cramming a 2-day mini VBS in starting tomorrow. And so, again, just trying to, create out of, what we can get our hands on. Even I was laughing at Michael tonight, because even the VBS package that we bought doesn't have all the usual bells and whistles in it. And so we had to go out and get a sign company to make us some signs and stuff like that. But, it's come together. It's done great. So, so it's going to be a good few days. And the VBS is family and friends only. As we kind of set it up, we said, this is very much an in-house event. But, if you got a good friend or two that you want to bring, we'll let you do that. We're not saying no. But, you're not going to see it on the sign outside. You're not going to see it on Facebook. We're not advertising necessarily what we're doing, not that we're trying to hide it. It's just that we just can't really run that. We just can't have that influx of kids because you got two camps out there. You got families who are desperate for anything because nothing's going on. You know, if you don't believe that, try to get the kid to summer camp, because we've been doing that. I mean, you know, Caden's been stacked up. His camps have been canceled. He's stacked up again. So, you know, I mean, people are just kind of floating for that next thing. So I had a feeling if we put it on the sign, we would see all sorts of people we've never seen in our life here. And we just really didn't want to do that, one, to our kids, but also to our leaders. Just want to put ourselves in that position. So, I mean, because it's still, Seminole County has been good to work with, and they've been very helpful for us. But it is still weird, and it's still very strange. And then we even saw that Sunday morning. I mean, you came in this past Sunday, right? We're back in mask again, but the rules are weird. I mean, you get to come in, you get to take your mask off, just like we did tonight. But you have to put it back on to go down the hall to go to the bathroom, because you might be crossing people in the hallway. You got to wear them until you get outside so you can social distance. I mean, it's just, you know, every building's different. Every setup is different. But we're very fortunate, and we feel very, very honored to be able to kind of move through this. And I think wisdom is a great topic to talk about, because, again, you got to be wise to deal with the stuff that's out there. I mean, I am bothered, I think, more. I'm not bothered by the pandemic. That doesn't really bother me. I'm bothered more about the craziness that surrounds it. I'm not saying that's good, bad, pro, con, or anything like that. I'm just saying there's just an air of craziness around. I mean, we make judgment calls about people now based on whether they wear a mask or agree with our thinking on it. And if somehow I don't want to wear a mask, but you do, or I do and you don't, somehow you think less of me or I think less of you because you're not willing to put a mask on. You recognize when I say that out loud, that's sinful, right? So we've allowed a pandemic to become sinful under the guise of keeping us safe. But yet, you know, what makes me an authority or you an authority is the same thing that makes everybody else an authority. We're just going with whatever news feeds we like. Because at the end of the day, the general consensus of everybody I've met is, we don't know nothing about this. I mean, and I will tell you, I have actually sat in rooms with four different doctors from different disciplines, but all MDs, running the range from kidney doctors to cardiologists. They're split down the middle on what we ought to be doing. Two of them think that masks are fantastic. Two of them think masks are a pain in the butt. Two of them thinks that we flatten the curve, and two of them thinking, well, we're not through this thing yet. Two of them are looking at one set of stats, two of them are looking at those. I mean, and again, the doctors. So I promise you that whatever you've read on the internet, half of it's right. And nobody knows what half. And so we're all navigating this the same way. But at the end of the day, people are upset. And I mean, they're judging one another because, you know, you don't love people enough to put on a mask. Well, no, that shouldn't be in question, you know, or you know, you want kids to go back to school. You don't love little children. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. But these are adult people saying insane things, which just lets me know that you ought to shut up. And wisdom helps you know what to say and when to say it. And so, if anything, the people of God ought to be emerging out of this as being the wisest people on the planet, because we're drawing from a source. And I get bothered when it's the Christians that are saying the dumb things, but we won't go into that. But and so we came up with what we were, you know, kind of been building on last week. If you zoomed in with this, and I mean, you know, of course, and there's no way I could write it on the board until tonight. So now I'm back to the board. I feel so much better now. But we said basically that knowledge plus understanding plus application makes you wise. Okay? I mean, this is what you need to start living a wise life. Wisdom, then, is the end result. You start taking these out of the mix, and you're not so wise. I mean, you know, if you know everything in the world and completely understand every chart, every graph, every bit of medical information you're getting about the pandemic right now, but you don't know how to apply it into people's lives and life situation, you just know a lot, you understand a lot, but you are absolutely clueless and you are not wise. You know, some of the smartest people I know when it comes to wisdom, are at the bottom of the tank. You know, they know a lot. They're just not real wise. And then some of the most uneducated people I know, and I've known through the course of my lifetime, they just had that practical, common sense, you know, look at here, what kind of wisdom. And man, you know, they were just, I mean, they were the people you went to. If you needed an answer, they would know. They were the sage, you know, wise counsels that you would go to. And I had a lot of these guys pouring into my life when I was growing up, and I'm very grateful for them. And I've stolen the things that they've said many, many times over. But so you need all of these things, okay? And so this is kind of what we've been talking about. Is taking that knowledge and taking that biblical knowledge that we can gain, understanding all that we can about God, and understanding how it works in the world, but then really applying it to our life, really trying to flesh it out and live it out. You know, this is one of the frustrations that coming out of the academic background I did. You know, I mean, most people don't care, you know, what you did when you went to school. They don't understand how it works, you know. And I think it's an interesting journey. But you know, I mean, for me, to tag my degree, you know, I ended up, you know, with my 4-year collegiate degree, bachelor's degree. I had to go get a 72-hour master's degree. And my master's degree was 72 hours. I'm like, dude, I could have picked up 2 or 3 master's degrees besides the one I was going to get my 72 hours out of Southwestern. But, you know, we did that. But, of course, I would always get frustrated in those classrooms listening to some of my professors because, again, everything they said was really great when it came to knowledge and in theory. I can tell you that probably 70% of what they taught me doesn't work in a church. The application wasn't there. And some of these guys I had, and of course, when I started to get to know them, because I ended up knowing a lot of these guys really well for a lot of reasons. But some of these guys, as I would talk to them, they'd never been in a church. They had never left Southwestern. And one of the hardest decisions I had to make as I was kind of moving through is by the time I got to the end of the Southwestern run, you know, I had kind of navigated my way enough to know some professors well enough that basically one in particular was more than willing to let me be his guy and kind of grease the tracks for me to stay permanently and eventually pick up my doctorate and then be the heir to, you know, his area of expertise, which was very flattering. And I know the guy that ended up doing it, and he did the same thing I did, though. He just didn't stay. It was one of those things where he just had to get out and try to do it. And so, you know, but I had that gnawing feeling, if I don't figure out how this stuff works, how's it going to work? This is kind of a waste. And so I'm afraid that for a lot of people, this whole church thing, this whole God thing, never gets applied well enough to find out whether they're wise and whether it really works or not. And yet the Proverbs are there for that. Remember I told you that Psalms has us on our knees, Proverbs has us on the streets. The Psalms are all about praising God and crying out to God and connecting with God and the worship of God. But the Proverbs are about how does this work out in the real world? And so we're kind of looking at those kind of things, and that's what we've been talking about. We've discovered that the Proverbs teach us some things about God. They give us a real scoop. They give us some essentials for living. And then I said what I was going to be doing is kind of just giving you some big, broad subjects. And so I said one of the things that we learned from the Proverbs is that we can know that we know. In other words, there's a security that we get. We can rest assured that we know what we need to know in those situations that God puts us in. And then mamas, don't let your babies grow up without a compass. Where I talk about the fact that, you know, parenting, you know, a lot of Psalms tend to indicate that all wisdom comes through parents, which scares me to death.
Richard, you know, needs to tell
ours too. Because I think maybe my kids got the short end of the stick sometimes. But we talked about the fact that, you know, the difference between a proverb and a promise. We talked about the importance of the fact that, you know, the best you can do is give your kid that compass and hope that when that day comes and they need to point toward God, that they'll look at it. They don't have to look at it. They can leave it in their pocket, leave it in their backpack. That's their choice, not yours, by the way, as a parent. So the great news is your job is to give them that compass that will point them to God. The bad news is for them, you can't choose for them because we all know we would choose for our children better than they do.
Yes.
Without a doubt. Your parents probably thought the same about you at some point too. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure mine did. But those are big ideas that the Proverbs gets across to us. And so that's kind of where we've been. Now, Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1. I want to read you verses 28 through 33. And out of these verses, I guess topically, I want to unpack for you just a little bit. You know, we have this desire to get it right before it's too late, or we have a sense of urgency about being this person that we're created to be and getting it right and doing it right with God. But we also feel very under gifted to do so. How about that? Verse 28.
Proverbs what?
1.
Thank you.
28 through 33. 33? Yeah?
Did I go
to 33? Yes, I thought you said 31. Okay. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. And they will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. This is one of those warnings that the Proverbs gives us, right? If you want to be a moron and you want to do it your way and you want to make bad choices, and how many times I heard that as a kid, and that's said it as a parent, make good choices, and you don't want to make good choices, you don't want to listen to wisdom, basically God is saying here, then you know what? You are going to get your comeuppance. That's what I used to hear. Oh, you'll get your comeuppance. I'm not ever sure what a comeuppance was, but I had plenty of them along the way, I'm sure. But people... When we're trying to be wise, we worry sometimes that we're really going to screw it up. And we get impatient sometimes with the way that God works. And I want you to know, the great news is that if you're worried about getting it wrong, you probably won't get it as wrong. Because there's something about your internal wiring that has you longing and trying to make sure that you get in sync with God. I would worry more if you never even thought about this. So if you never thought about anything to be worried about, that's when you need to be worried. And as crazy as that sounds, you know, sometimes we get bogged down because we just, I just want to get this right. And the great news is you are so concerned about getting it right, you have a better chance of getting it right than others. The key is not to over-worry, not to overthink it, but simply trust God and get it right. Because again, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to make sure I get it right. I want to make sure that I get it, the way, I want to line it out the way he wants to. But I also know that God doesn't want me to overanalyze what I'm trying to do. He wants me to be obedient and get moving. And there's always a fine line in there, right? Because, I mean, I can actually think through too much, and I'll try to overthink it and rethink it and then think it again. And then, you get frustrated and just go, I should have just done it. Yeah, you should have just done it. Because we just don't want to miss out on what God has for us. And sometimes we will get it right, sometimes we won't, but the Holy Spirit, and Matt was talking about the Holy Spirit, as he's reading in the book of John, we have such a gift that they did not have when these were written originally, that he dwells within us. And so we're not making these decisions now in a vacuum. He is with us, he is helping us, he is our comforter, he is our guide, he is our constant companion. I mean, he is with us and dwelling in us. And that is great news. You have the Spirit of God to tap into to make some of these decisions. And so in your life, I know you want to get it right, and I know you want to do it with a sense of urgency, and you should. You should be the person that God wanted you to be yesterday. But by the same token, I know that you won't ever be the person God wants you to be. It's a lifelong journey, and you have to trust the process. If you're like I am, sometimes I get frustrated with the process because the process seems incredibly slow sometimes. The one thing that you can always say to me that will get a reaction from me, and I won't be verbal about it, but inside I will just start just twisting and turning, is just wait. No, I don't wait. I don't do that very well. Because that's almost like saying be patient. I don't do that very well either. That's one of those things that God is growing in me. Because I don't like to wait. I mean, I like to, let's go, let's be done with this thing. Yeah, that's the worst part about the pandemic. I mean, I'll make this confession to you because you're here and you ventured out and you're socially distanced and you're in good shape and the people zooming right now, you know, they're listening, so we're all connected now. And you know, but I mean, you're the faithful. You're out in the middle of the week. You're the more spiritual than some of the other folks are. Man, you know, I mean, I don't know if you guys thought about it this way, but when this whole thing started and they started actually talking about we might have to shut everything down, I didn't really know what that meant. But my default in my brain was, this is America. They would never do that. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know who they were. I'm not sure who I thought they would be. I don't know who I was looking to be they that would have the common sense to know that this is a stupid idea. Now, I don't know if I thought it was the president. I don't know if it's Congress. I knew it wasn't Congress. But I mean, I would, you know, I didn't know if there was somebody locally that could figure it out. But I mean, I knew that they wouldn't do that. You know, then they started talking about, well, and, you know, the kids are okay, this is how we're going to do it. Spring break comes. It's a great time. The kids, we're just going to extend spring break because it'll take 2 weeks and we'll knock this thing down. You know, I remember when I got a text from someone who asked me, told me in a text, you need to go out tonight and buy food. And I texted back and said, why? And they said, because in the next 24 hours, our economy is getting ready to collapse. And I think I texted back, you're nuts. And then after I sent the text, I said, do we have food in the house? You know, again, because it's that whole, I could be missing this altogether. I mean, what I missed was I should have gone out and stocked up on toilet paper. But it, all of a sudden, in 2 weeks, the world just unraveled. But see, I thought, but they said 2 weeks. They told me to wait 2 weeks. It'll be better in 2 weeks. Liars. Wait two more weeks. We'll get it then. I was lied to. They said, wait two more weeks. It'll be okay then. I've been lied to again. See, we've been lied to so much about this now. I don't have any trouble at all figuring out why people are so frustrated. I mean, I know why they're climbing the walls, and I know why they're going crazy. Because, again, we've been lied to. Now, they, whoever they are, didn't lie to us on purpose. I'm sensitive to the fact that they didn't know what was going on. And they don't know what to do. Because they're doing what sometimes leaders have to do, that I've done a few times. They're making it up as they go. The problem is, I don't care if you make it up as you go, as long as it doesn't impact me. You know, I mean, I'm very conscious of, if I'm making it up as I go and it impacts you, I worry about that. And so there's this sense in me, I don't like waiting. I don't like waiting for things to change. I don't like waiting for things to unfold. I don't like waiting for someone else to figure out what to do. I don't like waiting at all. I would much rather go through a hurricane than this. Because I can deal with a hurricane. I can hook up a generator.
And then it blows through and it's over.
Yeah, I mean, I can pick up the damage. I mean, you know, let me kind of pick the damage up. But see, the waiting is brutal. But yet, here's one of the amazing things that we discover. God has this amazing thing that He does when we have to start really leaning into Him and trusting Him, and He wants to grow us, and He wants to make us deeper, and He wants us to see some things about Him. And I am convinced that when we come through this, and we will come through this, by the way. When we come through this, we will, some of us will, be able to look back and go, oh my gosh, God was doing such amazing things and He grew me so much, and we'll be wise enough to figure it all out and make it all click. Other people, they won't get beyond the fact that they're just ticked off. And so for me, one of my prayers has already been, okay, God, you know what, I don't want to miss the lessons I'm learning here, because when we come out, when we emerge, and by the way, that's the title of our next series on Sunday morning, Emerge. When we emerge, because hope springs eternal in me, I think it's going to happen, right? But when we emerge, you know, there are some amazing things that will happen, and then we're going to see them. I would love to tell you that the idea behind that, where I started kind of percolating on this, was an original idea. It was not like everything else. You know, it's borrowed and begged, and you heard it somewhere else, you know. And again, you do it. But I actually had someone send me a video and said, Jeff, you just need to hear this because I sense this is what you need to hear today. And you know what? They were absolutely right. And it was a preacher that I really liked listening to. And he basically just went through and he took big stories of the Bible, and he said, God sheltered these people for this, and when they emerged, this happened. God kept David in the wilderness for all this time, and when he came out, he was king. You know, God kept Joseph sheltered in a prison for years, only to come out and be the second most powerful man in Egypt. And talking about how God takes for a follower, for his children, these times when they seem to be sheltered away or locked away or pushed away or forced to be somewhere that they don't want to be. But when we get through it, God does amazing things. And I thought, you know, there's a sermon series in there somewhere. I just need to go find it. And so that's what I've been doing for the past few weeks, is I've been finding it in there. And so it sent me into God's Word to find some amazing things, and hopefully I'll get to share some of them with you in the weeks ahead, and you'll think, gosh, that was really pretty good. Or you're going to, well, he should have studied more. And that's okay, too. But when we're serious about this, and when we start digging, we discover that, you know what, although we are underwhelmed, God gives us what we need, and we can keep moving. I mean, that's what this passage is about. The Proverbs basically is saying, you know, I gave you a chance, you didn't listen to me. I gave you what you needed, you didn't listen to me. I did what I needed to do for you, but you didn't take my advice. I did what needed to be done, but you wanted to go your way. You wanted your plan. I had a plan for you, but you decided to do it your way. And so you kind of come to this thing where, you know, the premise is, you know, you've had chance after chance after chance, and you pushed back, and you didn't want to get what I was trying to tell you, so guess what? Your comeuppance is coming. And I think for me, it is that reminder to make sure that no matter what is going on and no matter what is happening, to remind myself that God is good and we have to listen. And when we listen, we get the opportunity to share, we get the opportunity to impact people's life, we get the opportunity to make a dent. But we have to be willing to do that. And so, you know, that means that we've got to be that voice of wisdom in a world that needs it. And we have to remember that God is good. I've told this story before, but I like it. Because I'm often reminded of the fact that there's no such thing in anyone's life as an unimportant day. And that means that you and I, today, tomorrow, it's going to be an amazing day. We even put a post on Facebook about that this morning. I mean, it's a good day. Because there's no day that's unimportant. And God does always show up. And so this story is true. It really is. And you'll remember as soon as I start telling you, if you've heard me tell it before. But Alice Grayson is the lady's name. She is a member of the Baptist Church Ladies Group in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And she was supposed to bake a cake for an event, but she forgot to do it until the last minute. It was for a bake sale. And so she remembered it the morning of the bake sale. And after rummaging desperately through her cabinets, she found an angel food cake. And she quickly made it while she was drying her hair, dressing, and helping her son pack for a camp that he was going to. And when she took the cake out of the oven, the center had dropped flat, and the cake was horribly disfigured. And she knew that there was not time to bake another cake, nor did she have anything in the house to bake another cake. So being inventive and not wanting to disappoint the very opinionated Baptist Church Ladies Group in Tuscaloosa, she decided that she would come up with a plan. And so she began to look around the house to find something to build up the center of the cake, which had fallen. And she found it in the bathroom. It was a partially used roll of toilet paper. And so she pulled off enough to kind of fill in that gap, plunked it in the center of the cake, and covered it with icing. And not only did it look beautiful, but it looked perfect. Perfect. And before she left the house to drop the cake by the church and head to work, Alice woke her daughter up and gave her money and specific instructions. She needed to be at the church bake sale the moment it opened at 9:30 to buy back the cake she had made and bring it back home. Simple, plan is in place, things are good. Y'all remember the story, right? You don't remember the story. Really?
No.
We're out of time.
Keep going.
No, I'm kidding. Stay with me. Okay. The daughter has the instructions. Mom has dropped it off. She's got the toilet paper cake there. When the daughter arrived at the cake sale at 9:35, she had found that the attractive, perfect cake had already been sold. Alice Grayson is now horrified. She's beside herself because everyone would know. And her mind started doing the things that your mind would do. Well, what will people think? Would she be ostracized? Would she be talked about? Would she be ridiculed? Stay with me. All night that night, Alice lay in bed thinking about people pointing fingers at her and talking about her behind her back and the nicknames they would give her. And so the next day, Alice promised herself that she would try not to think about the cake. That day at the church, to distract her, she thought, there was going to be a fancy luncheon bridal shower.
Oh, goodness.
And she would be able to go and have a good time, even though she'd almost decided not to go, because the hostess of the event was kind of a snob, who very often looked down her nose at her. Because, again, Alice was a single parent who obviously made toilet paper cakes. This lady who was hosting the event was one of the founding families of Tuscaloosa. She just felt like, you know, I will go, it'll distract me, it will be fine. The meal was elegant. It was fun. She was distracted. It was a upper crust Old South event. And then they brought out dessert. And to Alice's horror, the cake in question was there in the center of the dessert table that they rolled out. Alice felt the blood drain from her body when she saw the cake. She started to get out of her chair to tell the hostess all about it before the hostess did something that there was no coming back from. She was on her way to the front to tell her, even though she knew this lady was going to ridicule her and there would never be a moment's peace for her. As the mayor's wife said, "What a beautiful cake." And the hostess of the event said, "Thank you. I baked it myself." Alice stopped halfway across the room, went back to her seat, smiled, looked toward heaven, and said, "God, you are so good." And I want you to know that there is something about each day that he gives you. That is a true story, by the way. Each day that he gives you, there is something in the midst of it, even if it's hard to find, that is incredibly good. Don't get in such a hurry that you miss it. And don't be afraid of the process that it takes to get you there. I can tell you this from someone who has spent the bulk of my adult life wanting to short-circuit the process and speed things along. One of the most, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of areas in my life that God wants to change, but I know one of the areas that he has constantly worked with me on is, God, to learn to trust his speed, not mine. To do things in his timing, not my timing. And, you know, I've started more prayers than I can imagine saying, "God, what are you waiting on?" And God's heard that from me now so much, he thinks it's just hello. but that's just me. And maybe it's you. Wisdom helps me understand that God has given me what I need. I get to make those choices. If I ignore them, it is at my own peril. Don't. Trust the process. Trust God. Next week we'll add, and we'll keep, I mean, we've added something to it already, but we'll add to the list and see what's going on. If nothing else, you got a great story about a toilet paper cake that you'll tell somebody else. I know you will. Let's pray.
And we'll be done. God, you really are good to us. Just like Alice prayed, you're good. And you do things in unexpected ways, and you work at unexpected times to make things come together just like they need to. Lord, we're living through a strange time, but yet in the midst of that strange time, we need the voice of reason, and we need to be able to speak into the world around us and help people to hang on to hope and encouragement. And so God, I just ask that you would just use us. Use us to be those people. Help us to be those people that are able to shine your light into a world that needs it. Help us to be voices of sanity in a world that's gone crazy. And give us some clarity of thought where everything around us seems to be in chaos and confusion. And then God, also help us to trust the process and know that when we emerge, when we come through this, what you have in store for us next is not only good, but is exactly where we need to be to do the next thing that you have for us to do. We trust that. We hold on to that. And we ask you and make us wise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.